This is the word of the Lord, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Now that I have already obtained this, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is the reading of God's most holy word. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, O Lord, asking for your help at this time. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your word, the revealed word that has come to us through the prophets and through the apostles. But it has also come in the radiance of Christ Jesus, the word spoken to us, the word made flesh that has come and has dwelt among us, who reveals the Father to us and reveals who you are and your will for us in your word that is written in the scriptures. And so we praise you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for the word at this time. And we pray, Lord, that you help us, that you assist us. We need your help, Lord, to understand the scriptures, to understand your word, and to bless this word and to make it fruitful in our hearts and our minds, so that we will be more and more conforming to the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that this will be glorifying to you, Lord, that the sermon will be good for your people, for the church, and that we may benefit from this word tonight. And so we ask your blessing. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We come to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, where we come to a section that the Apostle Paul is given a description of his own life. It's autobiographical in a sense. He describes for us the Christian life, and it helps us to understand. You hear many things nowadays through books or through media about what the Christian life is all about. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that the Christian life is about one thing. It's just about one thing, and that's what he helps us to understand tonight in this text, that the Christian life is a life of a lifelong sanctifying pursuit of Christ Jesus. If you can define or explain what the Christian life is all about, it's just a lifelong pursuit of Christ Jesus. And so it's a sanctifying race in which we are looking at an athletic analogy that the Apostle Paul uses to exemplify the Christian life. And so he shows that this life, the Christian life, the life in Christ, in union with our Savior, is a life that is dynamic, is an active progress of a runner that is aiming towards the goal. And so tonight we'll look at four things from this text, from verses 12 through 14. First, we'll see the awareness on this pursuit of Christ, or this pursuit of the final goal. Secondly, we'll see the effort that is involved in this race. And thirdly, we'll see that this requires also a concentration to run this race. And lastly, we'll see that there's a motivation for us to run the race in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul presents the Christian life as a race. He uses this athletic analogy. He uses the example of a runner himself is the runner who is running this race from conversion to the time of the he will be with the Lord Jesus Christ and the time of his resurrection. And so it's not this race, as Paul explains to us, it's not a short sprint. Perhaps you are short distance runner and you like to run fast and short sprints. But the Apostle Paul explains to us that the Christian life is a lifelong marathon. So you have to have endurance. You have to have perseverance. And so the Apostle Paul has been explaining in this text and in the previous verses. In verse 8 reminds us that more than that, I count all things as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And verse 10 reminds us that the purpose or the desire of the Apostle Paul, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So the Apostle Paul reminds us that his desire is to know the Lord, is to know him. Is that your desire in your Christian walk? To know him more, to be glad and rejoicing when you are in the courts of the Lord every Lord's Day, that reminds you of the future rest that we have in Christ for all eternity. Is that your desire to know Christ, to know him fully, like the Apostle Paul? And so tonight we'll look at the first thing that we see in this text is the awareness in this pursuit. The awareness that the Apostle Paul speaks to us. If you read verse 12, Paul tells us, that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect. And then in verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. So Paul's great desire is to know the Lord, is to know Christ in all his splendor, all his majesty, all his fullness. He's filled with the glory, with the awe of Christ, and he wants to know him more. And so this is what he said earlier. If some people speak of their lifelong verse or something like that, and your motto in life or your slogan as you live as a Christian, the Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 1:21 that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So to live is Christ, life is Christ, and Christ is life for Paul. He breathes Christ, he drinks Christ, Christ is his life, is his everything. And his longing is to know this Lord, his Savior, his Redeemer perfectly. And so he has this awareness also that he has not reached perfection. He's far from reaching perfection. And so how do we know this? How do we know that he has still a long way to go? Well, if you remember in verse 6, at some point in his life, he thought that he was blameless, that he was above reproach, perhaps according to the rules of the Pharisees. He was perfect in keeping the law, as he tells us. And so this is the kind of teaching that the Pharisees and also the Judaizers were spreading around in the churches. Especially the Judaizers were a sect that were infiltrating the churches, and they were attacking right doctrine. And what they were saying is that you can actually be a Christian, but to be a Christian, you have to add Judaism. You have to add the ceremonial laws. You have to add the dietary laws. And you have to be circumcised. That's why he begins warning the Philippians about this damning teaching that is entering the churches in Philippi. He's telling the church in Philippi that these guys, the Judaizers, are dogs. He treats them as, that's how he refers to them. Because they are dangerous, they are deadly, they're lethal in their in what they're bringing into the church, how they're perverting the doctrine of the gospel. And so this is something that the Apostle Paul thought about being blameless. He thought that he was really good, above the average, actually excellent and blameless, he said. But when he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, or I think better said is when the Lord encountered Paul and caught him on the road to Damascus when he was persecuting the church, he came to a sober realization. He realized that he wasn't as good as he thought. Actually, he came to an understanding, to have an awareness of his own depravity. He realized that his claims of perfection or being blameless were nothing but rubbish and filthy rags before the Lord. And so this is what he says also in Romans chapter 7. If you remember the text of struggle that the Apostle Paul reveals to us in his life, that he is far from being perfect, he tells us. Romans 7 reminds us that the Apostle Paul had this constant tension in his walk with Christ. He had this tension. He says, I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. So it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And so we all relate well to his experience. We all have the same struggles, perhaps in different ways, but we still struggle with the old man. We're put into death sin, or at least we should be put into death sin day after day. So remember that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians almost 30 years after his conversion. Almost 30 years, and he's still writing and saying, I'm not there. I'm not there yet. And so his personal assessment is that he has not arrived. He needs to make more progress still in his walk with the Lord. And that's why he says, that I may know him more. He wants to know more the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants more of Christ. Is that what you want? Do you want more of Christ? And so the Apostle Paul has not achieved the resurrection from the dead yet. And so Paul recognizes that sanctification is imperfect on this side of the consummation. On this side of glory, you will never attain perfection. And so all believers, all those who are united to Christ by faith, have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, have the transforming power of the Holy Ghost in their own lives. And so the Spirit is transforming us, is molding us, is changing us, is forming Christ in you day after day. But at the same time, the desires of the Spirit and the desires of the flesh continue to clash in our own lives. And that's why the Apostle Paul repeats intentionally in verse 13 in our text, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. He said, I haven't arrived yet to a state of perfection. That hasn't been my experience, the Apostle Paul tells us. And this is encouraging for us, isn't it? Because he's an apostle. So it's encouraging to know that an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ still struggles with all the enemies that we find in this world, as the Apostle John reminds us of our own flesh, the sin in our flesh, and the world, and also the enemy of our soul, Satan. I think many of us, we have been children, or we have children, and when we go on long trips, the children, what do they ask? Are we there yet? And the answer is normally, no, we still have a little more to go. We still have a few miles to go. And so the question keeps going, Daddy, are we there yet? No, we need to keep going. And then the question keeps coming, right? But we have the awareness that we haven't arrived yet. We have that awareness that we are still imperfect. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us that we need to live with this awareness in our lives. And secondly, notice that there's an awareness in this pursuit of Christ, in this pursuit of the goal, as we are aiming for the finish line, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But also there's also an effort. Because we have an awareness that we are not there yet, we need to have an effort. And there's an effort that is involved in our pursuit of the final goal. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 14. Notice verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 12, he reminds us of the same reality. But I press on to make it my own. And so you notice the immediate response to his awareness. Paul says, I press on. He says it twice. He says it twice in describing his participation, his active pursuit of this goal in the race. And he uses this verb, to press on or to pursue, which is an active verb in Greek. And it helps us to know that this is an active pursuit. It's an ongoing pursuit. It never stops until we get there, until we arrive in that goal. So it's an effort that is involved here. It requires energy. It requires decision, aggressiveness in this effort to pursue the race, to keep running. So you see the runner, when you're watching a race or you yourself are running, you see that the runner doesn't take breaks to get to the end. He keeps going. He doesn't waste time because he doesn't have a reason to slow down and much less to stop in the race. He says the goal and he pursues the goal with all his might. He pursues the goal with everything that he has, using every fiber that he has in his body, every muscle to get there. And so he's not running for the sake of running. He's not running in circles. He's not running. That's why I don't like running on treadmills very much. I kind of feel like a hamster, you know. You never get anywhere. But you need to run with a goal in mind. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us. I press toward the goal. And I press on in verse 12. I press on to make it my own. Paul presses on, well, he's aiming for the goal. He sees Christ as the prize on the finish line. And there's something important to note here. Paul is not running, and we are not running the race of Christ to earn our salvation. We are running because we are saved, because the Lord has already rescued us. That's why we are running. We are not running to earn some brownie points to get to heaven. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminds us in chapter 2, verse 12, that we have to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. And so some people don't like to run, and that's okay if you don't like to run physically, but you have to run in the Christian life. I like to run with purpose. I like to run with purpose. That's why I grew up playing soccer, you know, football, the real football. And you run to get to the goal. You try to kick the ball and to score. That's the purpose. You run with purpose. Also, I ran to the store to get a Chick-fil-A sandwich. The other thing is, like, when I was dating Sarah, you know, this is like 15 years ago, 2006. I used to run with her. She's a runner, you know. She likes to run. And so I used to run with her like at 7 a.m. I mean, I thought I was crazy, but I was running with purpose because I wanted to marry her. But that's the way that the Apostle Paul wants for us to look at the Christian life. We have to run with purpose. We have to run with our eyes fixed on Christ, pressing towards the goal. I think if you've ever been to an athletic competition, you probably heard the sound of the gun, right? The starter's pistol, and that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. That he heard the upward call of God, and his race began in his Christian life, and so the heavenly upward call is real and is powerful in our lives. This is when the Lord is giving us all the tools in the Spirit to run the race. And so Paul heard on the road to Damascus the voice of Christ and his race began. And all of our experiences have been different, but we all have a starting point in Christ. I was reading one of the Puritans, and he was saying, yeah, we all have different ways. There's one way to God, he said. But there are different ways to Christ. And we all have different experiences. We all come in different ways to embrace this race that the Lord has set before us. And so the Apostle Paul started running toward the goal. And when you run, you have to run to win. If we start running thinking that we're going to lose, then we don't even start running. But we have to run, as the Apostle Paul tells us, as to get the prize, to get the first place. Run to win. And it doesn't matter really how long you've been running for. You may be running for 50, 60 years, 2 years, 2 months. Who knows? But it doesn't really matter how long you've been running for. Keep running. Never quit. Never stop. Continue in the race. And resist the temptation that you have achieved some reasonable distance to stop in the race. Never think that there's a reason to stop. Keep running. That's why the scriptures tells us that we have such a great cloud of witnesses, men and women who went before us, who crossed the finish line with honors. And so keep running. Keep on going, laying aside every weight of sin. Kill sin, mortify sin, repent and believe. Keep believing, repenting. That's the rhythm in the Christian life. Set aside any kind of discouragement, laziness, fear of suffering, bitterness, and run the race with endurance, for the reward is great. Have you ever thought about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ never stopped on his race from heaven to the cross? Are you glad that he never stopped halfway, that he kept going to all the way? That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 2. He reminds us of the great Savior we have. He tells us that he came from heaven. He took the form of a servant in our likeness. But he didn't take any different routes, any shortcuts, or he didn't stop on the way to the cross. He was obedient to the Father all the way to the end. And the Bible tells us for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joy of having you as his people, as the sheep of his pastures. And so he pressed on all the way to the cross, from heaven to the cross, because he anticipated the joy of being the Savior of his people, the Savior of his church. So Paul reminds us of this awareness that we may have, that we must have in the effort. And also notice that there's a concentration in this race. There's a concentration in our pursuit of the final goal. Notice in verse 13, right in the middle. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, is straining forward to what lies ahead. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I like the simplicity of the statement of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we don't need to be multitaskers. You know? I don't know how many of you like to multitask. I don't like it, and I'm not very good at it. But I'm glad that the Apostle Paul says that there's only one thing that we have to do. And that he's doing one thing. And so he's passionately pursuing the fullness of the knowledge of Christ with all his concentration, with all his mind, with all his heart. So you need to have this concentration. And perhaps you are asking, what is the secret? What is the secret from the Apostle Paul to run the race with concentration without any distractions? And he tells us in this verse, he tells us in order to maintain this concentration, he runs forgetting what lies behind. Do you run like that? Forgetting what lies behind and continuing to pursue the race ahead, that is ahead. He could have used this, to stop the race or to slow down. He could have used all his achievements that he mentions earlier in chapter 3. He mentions all these kinds of achievements, accomplishments that he had as a Hebrew of Hebrews, as the one who kept the law. He was blameless. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He has all this pedigree. He could have rested there and stopped the race there and slow down or stop altogether. He could have put confidence all in his position, his possessions, or his power. So he could have used all of that as a source of self-confidence. But he knew that his past doesn't count to make progress in the race. He knew that it doesn't help him to count on his past to move forward. Even the distance already traveled doesn't help. I like the word that he uses here, the word to forget what is behind. He says to forget, or can be said to neglect or to overlook or to care nothing about what lays behind. And so in a sense, he forgets as he runs. He's forgetting as he's running. And this is the beauty of the gospel, because the gospel defines everything in our lives, especially our present and our future. And this is why Paul uses the example of a runner, the runner who can't look back. If he looks over his shoulder, he may lose the direction of where he's going. If he looks behind, if he looks back, he may get distracted and lose the race, or he may stumble or lose the momentum that he has in his race. Or he may be passed by other runners. And so no one who is running can look back and look to Jesus at the same time. This is the point of the Apostle Paul. You have to keep looking forward. Fix your eyes on Christ Jesus as you run the race. In a sense, you find people all the time who celebrate past victories. You know, people still talk about different wars and or games, some game that some team played back in the 80s or 70s, and they're still watching the video, celebrating. And the same happens in the Christian life. There are some people who are distracted by their past. Many people live the Christian life thinking of what they used to be in the past. They say, well, in the past I used to serve the church. They talk about the good old days, the glorious days that are gone, long gone. And so what they mean is that the race is past tense for them. They used to pray. They used to pray a lot. They used to gather in the church. They used to visit the sick, visit the orphan, the widows. They used to prepare meals. They used to visit people. They used to practice hospitality. They used to serve faithfully in the church. They used to read their Bibles. What they have in their brains now is what they learned back in the day. They used to share the gospel. They used to do evangelism with people. Not anymore. These are past tense Christians. Past tense Christians. At some point in their life, they got distracted. They lost their concentration. They were distracted and they lost the momentum. They stopped altogether. They relaxed, they found self-satisfaction. And why does it happen? Why do they stop? Some people who serve greatly in the church, some people who glorify the Lord greatly with their lives in the past, why did they stop? You ask the question, and the Apostle Paul reminds us that they dwell in what lies behind. They never forgot what lies behind. They live the present in the past. Other Christians dwell in what lies behind. They're stuck in, they have a different approach to life. They are stuck in their failures. Others hold grudges with other people, bitterness, anger, resentment against others, other Christians in the church for things that happened in the past. Others feel guilty of their own sins. And so they think all the time about the past, and they can move on. They can never move forward in the Christian race. So the question is, if that's your case, dear brother and sister, the Lord calls us to repent and to continue believing, retake the race, get back in the race, keep running. This is why Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, And so you can imagine the Apostle Paul as a runner, bending his body forward, getting the momentum, getting his eyes fixed on the goal. And so with his greatest exertion, he pursues Christ. He pursues the Lord. He pursues his Savior. And remember what we said earlier. Why is Paul doing that? Why is Paul doing this? All the things that he mentions here. Because he wants to gain Christ. You remember the previous verse? In order that I may gain Christ. He's a single-minded man. He never loses sight of the finish line. And so all his passion and all his energy is fixed on knowing the fullness of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. He spends all his time learning the scriptures. He spends all this time running the race, serving, loving. He moves forward, discipling, helping other people in the church to get back in the race. He encourages others to run as well. So the Lord reminds us to be disciplined, to persevere and to be persistent, because the Lord perseveres with us. He preserves us all the way to the end, as we were reading earlier on the affirmation of faith, the confession of faith from the larger catechism. Be persistent, endure, run with maximum effort. Run to win. So as you're running with awareness, with effort, with concentration, is that the way that you're running, dear brother and sister? Are you running the race with this concentration? Concentrated, fix your eyes in Christ. But lastly, the Apostle Paul reminds us of there's a motivation. The Apostle Paul likes to motivate us, to move us. He's a good coach. He's a good teacher. He's a good coach, and he likes to encourage his people. And he gives to us a motivation. Notice in verse 12. In verse 12, he reminds us, what is the motivation? Oh, that because Christ has made me his own. Never forget that. Never forget that Christ has made you his own, that you are his, and he is yours. This is a phrase that contains a lot of gospel saturated kind of sentence in this verse. Christ pursued him. Christ pursued Paul. And now Paul pursues Christ. Isn't that beautiful? He still knows, he still thinks about the wonder of the gospel. The gospel is wonderful for Paul. It's beautiful. He never loses sight of the gospel, of the kindness of the grace of the Lord, his mercy, his goodness to us. He thinks all day long about this. He thinks about Christ and Christ all day long. He never stops thinking and eating and drinking Christ. That's his diet. And so since from the point that Christ pursued Paul, he's been running. And he remembers that he used to run away from Christ in his past days. But now he's running towards Christ, and he's aiming toward the goal. He remembers that God was gracious to him and took hold of him. And now he pursues his Savior because he loves him. He wants to know him. Now he's a new man in Christ Jesus. And so his affections are filled with the wonder of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the same way, the Lord motivates us. He moves us through what the Apostle Paul is reminding us, that the Lord took hold of you who are in Christ. He took hold of you so that you will run with effort, with the awareness that you are not there yet, and put all the effort in your race. That you continue to run with concentration. And so he reminds you that he's a loving father who loves you and who cares for you. And regardless of what happens in this world, nothing can snatch you out of his hand. And so as you run the race, continue to think about how undeserving we are of His grace, of His mercy, of His kindness, of His goodness to us, that He loves us with a everlasting love in Christ Jesus, and that He rescued us, not because of anything great that He found in us. On the contrary, He rescued us for the praise of His glorious grace. And so He gave Himself up to redeem us from all unrighteousness, to purify a people for Himself, a people for His own possession. And so now that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, this is what the Lord has for us. He has placed us in this race, and He has placed us here together. We're not alone in this race. We have to run together, encouraging one another and praising the Savior because of our brothers and sisters, praising the Lord with gratitude because one day we were far off, but He made us His own. And so that's why you have to pursue Him with all your heart, because He pursued you in the first place and He made you His own. And so we cannot be satisfied barely with just making a profession of faith. We cannot be satisfied with just barely knowing the Savior. You need to be like Paul, who was like Christ, who desired to please the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ came here to please the Father, to do His will. That was His drink and His food, to do the will of the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul is an imitator of Christ Jesus, and he tells us, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so press on with perseverance every day of our lives. Let us press on in our pursuit of holiness, to take hold of Christ, to take hold of that final goal as we run the race. And the question is, what do you have to change to be able to run the race as the Lord wants for you to run it? What do you need to change in your life? Do you have the awareness that you are not there yet? Do you think too highly of yourself? Is there more effort? There's effort that you need to put in the race. The Lord has given to us the means of grace to be able to run this race. We have all the tools at our disposal. So what is keeping you or distracting you from being concentrated in running this race with all your power, with all your might, to reach for the Savior and to take hold of Him? Perhaps you don't have the motivation. Perhaps you have never come to Christ Jesus. Perhaps you don't know the Savior. Maybe that's why you gave up, because you are running the race on your own, by your own means, by your own power. So the Savior invites you. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He invites us, repent and believe in the gospel. And He'll be your God and you will be His people. So the Apostle Paul reminds us of this life and the race that we have ahead of us. And you need to ask the question, are you running the race of happiness in the pursuit of happiness, or are you running the race in the pursuit of holiness and righteousness? May the Lord help us to run the race as the Lord keeps us and preserves us all the way to the end, as He loves us in Christ Jesus and keeps us in the palm of His hand. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You, Lord, for Your goodness and kindness to us. We pray, Lord, that You will help us and keep us, Lord, all the way to the end. We pray, Father, for Your grace in our lives and the power of the Spirit to be able to continue to run the race and to set aside any distractions of the past, any things that are deterring us from running the race, anything that is between people in Your church, O Lord, or anything that is distracting them from the world to run this race. We pray, Lord, that You will help us and help this congregation, Lord, to run for the pursuit of Christ, fixing their eyes on Christ Jesus and loving You and embracing you, and having the desire to love you more and to know you more and to know more of Christ and his glory. And so we pray, Father, that you will help us to that end. We pray all these things in your name and in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Let us sing the song of